Well, God is faithful. Amen. Amen. He is faithful. I want to talk about His faithfulness today. I want to talk about His faithfulness in us. You know, a lot of the time we strain to try to do the right things, to stick with it, to persevere, to push on, and we try to do it in our own strength, but there's another strength. Amen. Amen. Faithfulness is a characteristic of God. It is right up there with love being God's primary characteristic. Amen? God is love, period, full stop. And love is faithful. Not only is there agape love, the supernatural love, but there is this supernatural faithfulness that comes only from God. Anything else is a counterfeit. I'm glad to see some people taking notes today. I love that. I love it when people take notes. You know you should take notes. Hallelujah. You never know what God's going to say to you. It's not that you need to copy what's up here or take down dictation. It's just that you need to capture what's been said. God could say one thing to you that could change everything. Amen. Absolutely everything. And your hope should be out that you're going to capture that one thing. Well, God's faithfulness sits between, for the life of the believer, sits between calling and separation. But I want to talk about faithfulness first, and then we're going to talk about calling and separation. What is that? Where do we see that in Scripture? First of all, let's look at Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. As I said, starting off, Revelation is God's characteristic. Revelation 19, 11. We see the end of all things, hallelujah. It's all about to be done. Draw a line under it. It's about to be made right, right there. Revelation 19, 11. Now I saw heaven open. This is John on the island of Patmos, imprisoned there. And he declares, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. You know, at the end of all things, coming soon to a planet near you, at the end of all things, when there is an end to sin, when there is an end to suffering, when there is an end to disease and to lack and abuse, oh, he's coming. And he's going to judge in righteousness. He's the only one who can judge. But notice that of faithful and true, he is faithful first. Hallelujah. Faithfulness is a preeminent characteristic of God. Our faithfulness must flow from him, hallelujah, because it belongs to him, and it must serve him here and return to him in the praises of people, hallelujah, hallelujah. Anyone hearing me this morning? Amen, come on, hallelujah. Well, let's look at Matthew 25, 23. This is Jesus giving the parable, faithful servant. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And then he goes on to say, enter into the joy of the Lord. In other words, let's celebrate. You've been faithful, let's celebrate. God loves his faithfulness on you and in you. Yeah. Oh, he loves it. It's like you're dressed up in his clothes. He's like, come on, let's dance. You know, let's celebrate. That's exactly what that means there. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Let's celebrate. Hallelujah. The scripture says that many are called, but few are chosen. Man, if the body of Christ suffers from one thing, if the world is lacking anything, it's lacking Christians who haven't finished that journey yet. God has called, but they have not yet been chosen. What is that all about? If he calls you, are you not already chosen? What do you mean? There's a distance between these two things. Many are called, but few are chosen. Not all who are called are separated for service. Romans chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, calling... Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Called to be an apostle, separated to the calling of God. These are two different things. It's part of the whole. You could think of them as pinpoints on a journey. You got a starting point and a finishing point. Hallelujah. Something happens between calling and separation. If many are called but few are chosen, something happens. Something must happen between calling and separation. What has to happen between calling and separation, I want to prove it in the Word today, is faithfulness, not your faithfulness, but God's faithfulness in you toward others. Wow. God's faithfulness in you toward others. Have you ever failed and felt like you were unfaithful? Yeah? I've got good news for you and bad news. The good news is it was just lacking God's faithfulness in there. That was your faithfulness. Somehow, some way, it got mixed up. It got muddled up. It's God's faithfulness. We got to let it be God's faithfulness. We got to. And it's okay to fail in that way. Failure is an option. You know, one thing that we got to get right in the body of Christ, we got to quit shooting our own wounded, and failure's got to be an option. I learned almost everything I know from failure. I don't know. Failure's been my best tutor in life. Kev, how did you learn to do that? I failed a lot. I wasted a lot of money in the process. Faithfulness is required for separation. You know, the point of separation, it comes from God but depends on us. There is an element that we are responsible for. It does depend on us. In that in-between calling and separation, that faithfulness, that's up to us to get it right. You know, that in that distance between the two, between calling and separation, it can be forfeited by sin. We see ministers fall, do we not? Yeah. In the world, they fall. They fall through sin. Many fall through apathy. Apathy toward the will of God. Apathy toward the will of God. We cannot be apathetic about His will. If Jesus in Gethsemane was, "Father, not my will but yours be done, can this cup pass? Not my will but yours be done." If that was Jesus' cry, if He was in agonizo, agonizing over this situation, do we not need to agonize? Is there not a little bit of agony in bringing forth the faithfulness of God? There's a little bit of pain in bringing forth the new thing, the good thing, the right thing. Regardless of what anyone has to say, there's a little bit of agony in it. And it's good. There's life in that agony. You know, Paul talks about ministers, some shipwrecked and some cast away, 1 Timothy 1:19. They, having faith and a good conscience, we need to have a faith and a good conscience toward God, or we can become shipwrecked between calling and separation. We can become cast away, in other words, modern English, disqualified. 1 Corinthians 9:27, you can look it up for yourself. 1 Corinthians 9:27. We can become disqualified between calling and separation. What can we learn from Paul's life? Let's have a look at a couple of good examples. Paul, you know, being one that I just love. Let's look at Paul in his early days. Galatians 1:15. "But when it pleased God, who separated me first from my mother's womb and called me through His grace." What do we see? Separation. And we see calling. There's a natural separation that happens. I know nothing about it. I've witnessed it. That's agony. When a mother brings forth a child. Oh, hallelujah. But what a good thing that comes forth. I hear some groaning in the background. Yeah, I won't even ask for an amen. I just know I was there. I think I went white as a sheet. It's okay. But we are separated from our mother's womb, and then we begin to live independently. There's a spiritual separation. All are called, but not all are chosen. There's a spiritual choosing, chosenness, if you will, separation that happens, to be set apart, to begin to become independent. Paul is speaking of this of himself. Galatians 2:1. And then he's talking about his journey. Then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. I want to look at Paul's history from his salvation all the way through to the Paul that we know, the Paul that wrote all of these epistles. I want to look at his journey from calling to separation, and I want to look particularly at his faithfulness. Paul was first saved on the road to Damascus. He had a written permission from the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem to go to Damascus and to persecute the Christians there because he had been so good at it in Jerusalem. He was the rising star. And of course, Jesus slapped him off his donkey and said, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Lord, what's going on?" Paul was saved in that moment. He realized he'd been on the wrong side of it, that he'd been working against God rather than for God, and he was instructed to go to Damascus and to wait for Ananias. Paul got saved, and he obeyed straight away. Yeah. Straight away. Obedience is first. First.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, when Ananias laid his hands on him, it was that moment of calling. The calling became clear. Now, you would have thought that someone like him, who was already well known in Jerusalem, could go back and go, "I'm so sorry for what I did. I repent. I want to learn from Peter and John and Andrew. I want to learn from you guys. Please teach me." But that's not what he did. Paul left Damascus and went to Arabia. So many people nowadays, they feel called, they have the calling, and then they start to think about, "Well, I'm going to walk in somewhere and somebody's just going to go, oh, you know, there's going to be like a light, you know, bing," and they go, "Oh," and they go, "Oh, you're finally here. Well, this is magnificent. Please, you know, come forth. No, we've got a gold-plated podium for you to speak at." I'm being funny, but I'm being serious, because this happens. Faithfulness is formed in humility. The first thing Paul did was obeyed. The first thing. And then flowing on from there, he goes into Arabia where there's hardly anybody. You've got Jerusalem, Mecca, center of Christianity. It's exploding, it's burgeoning, and he's there, and he's Paul, and he's highly intellectual and highly educated. A Jew amongst Jews, would have been obvious for him to go there in the natural. But in the spirit, he was led to Arabia. Yeah. Jesus was baptized at the Jordan and led into the wilderness. Hallelujah. Welcome to this upside-down kingdom that is Christianity. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad it's upside down, because the world is upside down. If you ever feel disoriented about the way things work in the body of Christ, it has to do with the fact that the world is upside down and God's making everything right side up. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Holy Spirit revealed Paul's calling, sent him into Arabia. Why Arabia? Well, God trained Moses in Arabia. God trained Moses in Arabia. Apparently, out in the middle of nowhere where there's hardly anybody is a great place for God to train people. No luxuries, no nothing. The world stripped away. Just you, just God. Wow. What happens? God gives Paul a powerful, dynamic revelation that we're still preaching from today. A powerful, dynamic revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you can preach, you got to know what to preach, and it better be from God. Amen. Revelation always comes before preaching. It always comes before preaching. By going there, Paul moved toward his future separation. Called to Arabia, dynamic revelation, forming, shaping, training. What did that look like? Studying the Word of God, fasting, and prayer. Studying the Word of God, fasting, and prayer. Hearing revelation from God. Becoming so filled with it that it becomes you. Becoming so filled with the revelation of God that it becomes you. Hallelujah. Transformation. That is transformation. You know, and this revelation that we get in that way is always a livable, alive, and kicking, doable revelation. Our God is the God of the impossible. He calls us to do the impossible, and then we're able to live it and do it. Hallelujah. All glory to God. Yeah. What did Paul learn in that time? Well, he learned that faithfulness pays off. God's faithfulness pays off. It pays off in the end. You got to remain faithful to do whatever God has given your hands to actually do. And you got to know that if the Lord does not promote you, you are not promoted. If the Lord does not promote you, you are not promoted. You're something else, but you are not promoted. Many dangerous things have happened in the body of Christ. We've watched some dramatic failures and falls, have we not? Yeah. It raises the question, did they promote themselves, or did they believe a lie that they were promoted? Wow. We got to remain on our face before God. He is a holy God. His faithfulness is His. We get to use it. We get to benefit from it. We get to love to see it in others. Oh, I love seeing God's faithfulness on folks. You're looking good, all decked out in His goodness. You know, we got to understand that we don't need to be where success is to be successful. Paul was in Arabia. That was not where success was in terms of the world. We don't have to be where success is to be successful. God will bring the success to you. He'll bring success to you as you're faithful. Oh, how much time gets wasted in the body of Christ, just driven into the ground, just wasted, chasing things that we need not be chasing, for God is a deliverer. He is a deliverer. You know, God rewards patience. Krista read this morning from Isaiah 40, verses 30 to 31. Waiting on the Lord demands patience. In this instant world, this drive-through world, we're short on patience. We're short on the right kind of patience. Waiting on the Lord demands patience and faithfulness. They travel together. They're partners. Pilot and co-pilot. Patience and faithfulness. Krista read Isaiah 40, verses 30 to 31. I want to unpack that a little bit. Thank you. Hallelujah. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That sounds to me like those who wait on the Lord do not fail. They can't pack it in. They're always overcoming and rising above it. They're always able to run or to walk. Sometimes we go quick, sometimes we go slow. I think that was a rap in the 80s or something like that. I don't know. Who knows? Who cares? Why am I even talking about it? You can run and you can walk. Praise God. Examples of faithfulness. You know, I think the thing there is, you know, it says youths, even youths, shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fail. You know, sometimes we look at the new thing on a person. This is not against young people. This is just a statement that for those of us who get weary sometimes, that I can look in the mirror and go, even those folks that look like I used to look get tired. You know, that's good. I'm good with that. That's good. But there's a supernatural thing, because regardless of your age, this is telling us that regardless of our age, it's got nothing to do with our age. It's got everything to do with patience and faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. Whoa. He always comes through. It's got everything to do with him. I love it because it sets us free from thinking it has much of anything to do with us. What did Paul do first? Obeyed. Yeah. He obeyed. Hallelujah. And for the rest, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and another's they will not follow. Let's look at Epaphras. You're like, Apahahu? Epaphras gets a brief mention, but we learn a lot. Paul's writing about Epaphras, so we learn how Paul sees Epaphras. We learn about their relationship. Let's look at the faithfulness rewarded in Epaphras. Pastor was the pastor at the church of Colossae. And the first thing we learn about him is in Colossians 1, verse 7, that he was a faithful minister. First thing you learn about him, he was a faithful minister. It doesn't say he was a gentle minister. It doesn't say he was a meek minister. It says he was a faithful minister. Hallelujah. Faithful, first. What's on Jesus' leg as he's riding that white horse? Revelation 19, 11, faithful and true. Oh, let's be faithful first in all things. If I ever have a tombstone, let it just say faithful. Oh, please, and let it be true. Let it be faithful and true. Epaphras was not a celebrity pastor. He was faithful. He was faithful to do what? We learn that in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What do we learn there? What is he faithful to do? Well, as a minister of the gospel, as a minister of the Lord, he ministered first the complete will of God, the complete word of God, all of it, complete. He ministered it. And then he prayed. Now don't let the word prayed become generic to you. He prayed a certain kind of way. We need to learn to pray this way. So he taught first the entire word of God, not singling out a pet doctrine, and he prayed for his congregants to be mature in the word that they heard. His praying was before, of course, in preparation, but his praying was on the back end. That message that God gave him, that revelation that he brought forth and that he delivered to them would change them and continue to change them. Hallelujah. Oh, that they would be fully equipped. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Epaphras did not pray for his sermon to be good.
Yeah.
He prayed for the congregation after the sermon.
Wow.
There are rewards of faithfulness, not only in this life, but in the life to come, in eternity. Oh, what hope it is that we have, brothers and sisters. But you know, faithfulness begins at the bottom. Jerusalem was the top. People go up to Jerusalem. It says so in Scripture. It sits on high ground. But Arabia, head down and keep on trucking. It's down. Faithfulness begins at the bottom. God calls imperfect people into ministry. You know, we are treasures in earthen vessels. Hallelujah. And if we relax into God's goodness and His plan for our life, He can even reshape us. He can expand us, increase our volume. He can change our function by changing our shape. Wow. He can do anything. He made you. Epaphras learned from being around difficult people too. That happens in ministry. Being around difficult people develops character. Yes. Character is developed in that way. In Philippians 2 verse 12, Paul touches on what's happening in those moments. This is where you work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. There's a working out in our faith life. Let's look at Timothy. Look at another example. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You have heard me teach things, Paul talking to Timothy, that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. What is that? Revelation, revelation, revelation. Word of God, word of God, word of God. Wow. I'll read it again. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Trustworthy people. Pass it on to other trustworthy people. That means in that moment, as you're looking at them, you know them to be trustworthy. You've already seen God's faithfulness in their life. Paul was in the habit of raising up faithful men and women. God brought them into his sight, and then Paul worked to equip them. There is a calling and a separation, and in between there is faithfulness. We start with faithful men and women. Trustworthy. Who will be able. That's future tense. You have present tense. They're trustworthy now. And they will be, future tense, able to pass them on to others. There's training. There's preparation. You know, Paul met Timothy on his second missionary trip. He was listed as one of those faithful men found on Paul's second missionary trip. Acts chapter 16, verses 1 and 2 says, he had a great reputation for dependability and commitment to the things of God. Man, just read that again. Acts 16, verses 1 to 2. He had a great reputation for dependability and commitment to the things of God. What was he? He was known for being amazingly faithful. It hung heavy about him. In Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness is one of them. The fruit of the Spirit hanging like fruit in an orchard, like we're trees that bear 7 different kinds of fruit. Hallelujah. No, sorry, 9. Faithfulness is number 7. Anyone got a faithful number 7? You know, you like, is that your favorite number? Faithfulness is number 7. Hallelujah. Faithfulness is that if it's number 7, it's fullness. That's what it means to me. Don't want to read too much into it. But there are patterns in Scripture. He had a great reputation. It doesn't say Timothy was suspected of being faithful. And what was he faithful to? He was committed to the things of God, to the Word, to fellowship, to prayer, to fasting, everything that we do, the weapons of our warfare, everything, he was committed to it. Committed. Hallelujah. Not just faithful, but visibly, noticeably, completely. It was his characteristic. It was God on him. Faithfulness, there it is. Committed to the word of God, there it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, faithfulness is a real humility trip. And faithful people are dependable people. And they're committed people. They're committed to the things of God. But faithfulness comes through humility. Let's look at ourselves in a fallen world amongst a fallen humanity as born again, saved men and women of God. Let's look at ourselves through 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26. I'm going to go through to verse 31. It's well worth just going through and just reflecting on this passage. There are things to trace in here. Again, it's Paul writing. He's writing to the church at Corinth. We're learning about faithfulness in the life of the believer. We're learning about calling and separation and how faithfulness fits in the middle and how many fail along the way. So now this is the background. This is the scene. I've told you what's happening with us. But this is the scene in which it's set. If it's theater, it's the scene. The character actors on stage, the dressing, everything, the lighting, the sound, all of it. This is the scene. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 26, "For you see your calling." God has called. Do you see your calling? First thing, do you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called? Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. We often talk about, you know, shame's not our portion, but God, in relation to the world and the things that hold us back from his plan, from his purpose, that restrain his truth, that hold back the gospel going out into the world, that keep us from doing what God has called us to do, God has put shame upon it. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame, to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world. In other words, there's low, dirty things that nobody wants to touch. Those people, the untouchables, the deplorables. If I'm quoting Hillary Clinton, sorry to bring up politics. Anyway, the deplorables. You know, just the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. What the world despises, God has chosen. Wow. And I'm not saying every Trump supporter was chosen by God, okay? Don't go too far with that example. The base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. God is bringing to nothing everything that's not his. He is bringing to nothing everything that is not his. His will be done, not ours. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30, but of God you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom. Check this out. Here's the wisdom. Doesn't matter whether you got it or don't have it in the world's eyes. It comes from Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, from God, His wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, let's glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, he's faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, he's faithful. Hallelujah. You know, from the disciples to the early church to today and on into tomorrow, as long as this church age goes on for, and then rolling over into eternity. Hallelujah. It is God. He builds his church, and he builds it, apparently by this passage, mostly from foolish, weak, and base things of the world. It doesn't mean people who are highly intelligent can't serve God and be faithful. It means it might be a little more difficult for them. Because if you know you haven't got the answers, you've got nowhere to go to. It's the difference between Jerusalem and Arabia. Wow. Come on. It's the difference between the two. Help us, Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Yes, hallelujah. Come on. Faithfulness cannot be manufactured. I would just take that word manufactured and say fractured. You brought a fracture between calling and separation. Faithfulness cannot be manufactured. The only source of faithfulness comes from God. The only source. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, then I saw heaven opened and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. We started with it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23 says, great is thy faithfulness, O God. It's up to us to recognize his faithfulness. Hebrews 10, verse 23, he is faithful who has promised. Every promise of God comes from him who is faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Folks, don't just hang in there. You got to overcome in there. You got to overcome in there. You got to overcome in all those little moments of faithfulness when it's hard, when it's tough. There's a supernatural fruit that you are about to bear called faithfulness. Belongs to God. He brings it forth. Hallelujah. In its season, he brings it forth. He brings it forth. So don't just hang in there. Just overcome in there. Wow. Overflow with it in there. Faithfulness is one of God's greatest attributes. The Father's called faithful many times. Jesus Christ is called faithful and true, but faithful was first. His highest attribute is his faithfulness. Hallelujah. You notice in Matthew 25, verse 23, the Lord did not say, well done, good and qualified servant. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. God will work on whatever you need. Skills-wise, he's interested in faithfulness. He rewards faithfulness and nothing else. Do you know how simple this is? He rewards faithfulness. Our rewards in eternity will be for faithfulness. Wow. All these little moments. All these little moments. Faithfulness. Wow. Hallelujah. His faithfulness. I think I'm going to be surprised when I'm before him how little anything I did for him had to do with me. Got saved and then had to work for the rest of my life on the whole obedience thing. Come on. The choice thing. Come on. Our Lord rewards us in this faithfulness and throughout all eternity for our faithfulness. It's not our abilities, our possession, our reputation, or even our qualifications. Proverbs 20, verse 6 warns that most men will proclaim each his own goodness. But who can find a faithful man? Wow. The answer is God can. And we can. We can too. Because remember, Paul told Timothy, find faithful. Look for the faithful. You're going to see them. And they're there. You'll recognize them because they look like you, Timothy. Because you look like God, Timothy. Because you're adorned in God's faithfulness, Timothy. And they're going to have it too. You'll find them committed somewhere, some way to the things of God. They'll be right there in plain sight. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness. That's the warning. We need to be careful not to proclaim our own goodness. Only God brings forth goodness from us. The Bible says that the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above all things. Our hearts can deceive us. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. God blesses the faithful. That's the beautiful thing about that trip from calling to separation, is that God blesses your socks off time and time and time and time again. All those little moments of faithfulness, it's just you called, and then it's blessing, 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 blessing. And even after you're separated, blessing, 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 blessing. But you get good at walking in the blessing and not trying to take the blessing for a walk. The fruit of the Spirit must come forth in your life. And when it does, it establishes a solid foundation. I'm going to start to wrap it up. Brings forth a solid foundation. Faithfulness walks you into a place where you have an unshakable faith. Unshakable faith. And what it does for you, this is what faithfulness does. We're a generation that I believe in the West, we have to be careful. We're watching integrity problems. In other words, we're watching the fruit of the Spirit wither in the lives of Christian leaders, if we call them that. And we need to be careful of that. We don't look to men, we look to God. Yeah. We can give God thanks and praise for men and women, faithful men and women who are committed to the things of God, that are committed to the Word of God, that are committed to fulfilling His call on their life. We can give thanks to God for His gifts. The apostles, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists, the teachers. We can give thanks to God for all of those things. Prophet. We can give God, thanks to God for all of those things, but we watch many gifted people that operate in the fivefold ministry and they fall with such, it's phenomenal. We're hearing a thud over here and another thud over there. What's happening? They lack a foundation. Foundation is Christian character, the fruit of the Spirit. What are they? Let's go through them. In Galatians 5, we have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then it goes on to say that there's no law against any of these. Not only is there no law against any of these, they are the very things of liberty in Christ Jesus. They are the very things of liberty. So many are called, few are chosen. Not all who are called are separated for service. Something must happen between calling and separation. It is faithfulness. I hope I've made the case today that it is faithfulness preeminent above all things. It is preeminent with God. Christ is faithful and true as he rides his white horse in Revelation 19. He's faithful. First characteristic listed. It is so vitally important to God. It must be vitally important to us. That we would not just be found to be faithful, but that we would be faithful today, right now in God's sight. Today. Today. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. I'll read it again. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. For someone like Paul, there was no more... Paul, before salvation, would never have said that. There's no more humbling statement for him to say, but Paul, transformed, called, separated. I'm so happy to be a bondservant. No man would claim it. Oh. He goes on to say, called to be an apostle. Amen. And then separated to the gospel of God. Not separated to man, not separated to anything else, just separated to the good news of God, the proclamation that the war is over. Lay down your arms. Surrender. And be at peace. Fall into the loving arms of your Savior. Oh, what a glorious gospel. Hallelujah. What a glorious gospel. The good news is glorious. It's glorious. We're to be faithful to God and his gospel. We're to be faithful to God and his good news. Hallelujah. It benefits men. Look, this faithfulness, what we do for God, that we get right. What we do for God that we get right is for men. It's for people out in a lost and dying world. And yes, it's for one another too, to build one another up, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, not to tear down, not to hinder, not to cut the legs out from under people, but to bring life. Hallelujah. To look at somebody and not judge them as the world does, but to look at them and say, oh, my God can use even the base things of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Oh. I love that Paul says, a bondservant. What is he doing there? He's saying, I identify now, first and foremost, with the least of what the world has to offer in humanity. Because I know what God can do. And our faithfulness belongs to him. Close your eyes, please. If there's anybody in here who needs to reset their walk with God, who's gotten it wrong with good motive and good ideas, good intentions. But it's time to get it right. Just between you and me. The Bible says, confess your sins to one another that you might be healed. If you've been called but lost out there, wondering about what it means and where it goes, Would you just raise one hand for me? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, just thank you for those who raised their hand. Father, I thank you for your call upon their life. And I thank you for your faithfulness. I pray that right now you would just bring the joy, your joy, to bring strength, to strengthen what's been weakened, to strengthen even what's atrophied, to heat up what's gone cold, to light a fire. Just light a fire right now, just in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Purify. Make right every motive. Make right every thought. Make right every intention. Purify in us a clean heart. Give us lips that glorify your name from a clean heart. We thank you for your faithfulness. Come, lead us into places and spaces of obedience. Come and lead us into places and spaces where the world is out of reach, where we can just be alone with you, where we can humble ourselves before you and know that it's the best thing. Help us, Lord. Come fulfill every journey. I thank you for your sons and daughters, not only called, but found faithful and separated. Separated to your gospel. Separated to the service of your will. I pray not only for those here, but for the body of Christ across the city in Victoria. Body of Christ in our neighborhood, on our street. Body of Christ in Australia, across the world. And we look forward to the day we see you seated upon your throne, Lord, but we see you now. We see you high and lifted up. You are faithful and true. You will always and forever be faithful and true. May we be faithful to you. In Jesus' name.